Good evening and welcome to eBible Fellowship's Bible study in the book of 1 Samuel. Tonight will be study number 95. In our last study, we saw how God uses historical types and figures to typify the period of the Great Tribulation. And at the conclusion of these types and figures, for instance, the conclusion of the 70-year period in which Babylon came against Judah, we find that as the king of Babylon was defeated and Babylon taken by Cyrus and the king of the Medes and Persians, that this typifies and pictures the end of the Great Tribulation period in which Satan is defeated and the Lord Jesus Christ is victorious and now reigns over everything that Satan had been reigning over. We were looking at Daniel 7, and I want to read that again before we add to this a little bit more. In Daniel 7, beginning in verse 9, it says, "I beheld till the thrones were cast down, and the Ancient of Days did sit, whose garment was white as snow, and the hair of his head like the pure wool. His throne was like the fiery flame, and his wheels as burning fire. A fiery stream issued and came forth from before him. Thousand thousands ministered unto him, and 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. The judgment was set, and the books were open. I beheld then because of the voice of the great words which the horn spake. I beheld even till the beast was slain, and his body destroyed and given to the burning flame. As concerning the rest of the beast, they had their dominion taken away, yet their lives were prolonged for a season and time. I saw in the night visions, and behold, one like the Son of Man came with the clouds of heaven, and came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him. And there was given him dominion and glory and a kingdom, that all people, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion, which shall not pass away, and his kingdom, that which shall not be destroyed." In this passage, the context is set as Judgment Day. And on Judgment Day, we're not surprised to read, that the beast was slain and his body destroyed. And that fits perfectly with all we know that at the end of the Great Tribulation, Satan, whose name was given to him of the beast by God exclusively for that period of time, is slain, just as at the end of the 70-year period, the king of Babylon was slain. And yet, what is surprising, and what we would have no answer for, except that we have entered into the period of those days after that tribulation and now have a superior vantage point where we can see and understand these things, is that the Bible then goes on to say in Daniel 7:12, concerning the rest of the beast, they had their dominion taken away, yet their lives were prolonged for a season and time. And how can that be? How can we understand that? It's Judgment Day. The beast is slain. And why are the rest of the beast given a prolonged period of existence? And why is it their dominion was taken away? Well, it's only when we realize that Judgment Day is an extended period of time. It may be years in actuality, yet God identifies it as a single day, and it's his prerogative to do that. He's done that with other things in the Bible. Yet we know at the beginning of Judgment Day, in a sense, since Satan has been deposed and he has been removed from the authority given to him for that period of the Great Tribulation, that it is as though he was killed, he was slain. Yet he continues to exist. And so the rest of the beast are continuing. All the beasts, they all are speaking of that one spirit being, the fallen angel, Satan. And God is just using this language of one be slain and the rest continuing to teach us of his program at this time of judgment day. Satan is defeated at the beginning. His dominion is taken away, but he continues to exist. We are not to think that Satan, the fallen angel, is dead, that we're not to worry about him. No, that's not what God is saying. He has just been put down from the high and lofty position that he had assumed in going into the temple of God, showing himself to be like God as the man of sin. That authority which was God-given, God loosed him from a bottomless pit and allowed him to enter into the churches and congregations to rule in order to bring about the judgment upon the house of God. All that, though, officially has been taken away. The dominion given to him is gone. But he still exists, and he can still operate in the world, yet without dominion, without spiritual authority in the church or in the world, because Christ has been victorious. And that fits everything that we have learned since May 21 and have entered into these days after the Great Tribulation. But let's go to another historical account, and we'll see how God pictures this very same thing in the book of Esther. And we'll start reading in Esther chapter 6 and beginning in verse 11, where we'll find this is the day that Haman, who had been exalted to a high position of authority in King Ahasuerus' kingdom, that this is the day that he is brought down. He is humiliated. And we'll see later that he actually dies this very same day. Haman will be put to death. And that Mordecai will then take over Haman's high position and take over the house of Haman, so that all that Haman once ruled over, Mordecai will become the ruler. Now, what is very significant, and we cannot understand the book of Esther without this bit of information, is that when we analyze the earlier chapters and we see the dates that are given us, that all the evil that befalls Haman in this one day occurs on the 17th day of the second month. And that is significant because that is the day that God has completely identified with May 21, 2011. If you remember, it was 7,000 years from the flood on May 21, and the underlying Hebrew day, that is the day in the Hebrew calendar, was the 17th day of the second month. And the importance of that related to the flood, that was the day that Noah and his family entered into the ark, and God shut them in. And that was the day that the flood waters began to fall and to arise upon the earth. That is the day that identifies with Judgment Day. And it was on the 17th day of the second month in the days of Ahasuerus that Haman began to fall before the king. And it says in verse 11 of Esther 6, "Then took Haman the apparel and the horse and arrayed Mordecai, and brought him on horseback through the street of the city, and proclaimed before him, Thus shall it be done unto the man whom the king delighteth to honor. And Mordecai came again to the king's gate. But Haman hasted to his house mourning, and having his head covered. And Haman told Zeresh his wife and all his friends everything that had befallen him. Then said his wise men and Zeresh his wife unto him, If Mordecai be of the seed of the Jews, before whom thou hast begun to fall, thou shalt not prevail against him, but shall surely fall before him. And so this is how Haman's day began. But then it was the same day he was invited to Esther's banquet. And it, later in this very same day, he went to the banquet. And we read in Esther 7, verse 7, and the king, arising from the banquet of wine in his wrath, went into the palace garden, and Haman stood up to make requests for his life to Esther the queen, for he saw that there was evil determined against him by the king. Then the king returned out of the palace garden into the place of the banquet of wine, and Haman was fallen upon the bed whereon Esther was. Then said the king, will he force the queen also before me in the house? As the word went out of the king's mouth, they covered Haman's face. And Harbona, one of the chamberlains, said before the king, behold also the gallows 50 cubits high, which Haman had made for Mordecai, who had spoken good for the king, standeth in the house of Haman. Then the king said, hang him thereon. So they hanged Haman on the gallows that he had prepared for Mordecai. Then was the king's wrath pacified. This is, again, the 17th day of the second month. Haman is first humiliated, then he is killed. Just as, and again, this date identifies with May 21, and May 21 was the 8400th day, the exact 23rd year of the Great Tribulation, the day the Great Tribulation came to an end. And on that day, spiritually speaking, we could say that Satan was killed in a way, as he was put down from his high position of authority. Just as the king of Babylon was slain after 70 years, just as Haman, who certainly represents Satan, is killed on the 17th day of the second month. And what of Mordecai, who is a picture of Christ? Well, it says in Esther 8, in the first couple of verses, on that day, again, that 17th day of the second month, did the king Ahasuerus give the house of Haman, the Jews' enemy, unto Esther the queen, and Mordecai came before the king, for Esther had told what he was unto her. And the king took off his ring, which he had taken from Haman, and gave it unto Mordecai, and Esther set Mordecai over the house of Haman. The dominion is taken away from Satan, and Christ receives dominion over all that which Satan had reigned over. Just as Cyrus now was king over all that previously the king of Babylon ruled over, and as Mordecai now rules over all that Haman ruled over, it is the same spiritual picture. Now, when we begin to see the same spiritual picture come into view repeatedly, and it comes into view with the particular date of the end of the Great Tribulation in view, like the end of 70 years, or as Esther emphasizes, this particular day that Haman is put to death and so on, then we come to realize God is giving us understanding. He's teaching us of what happened on that day when Judgment Day began and the Great Tribulation ended. Now, I want to go to one other place in Esther, and then we're going to go over to Isaiah chapter 14. But first, let's go to Esther 9 and read verse 10. It says, the 10 sons of Haman, the son of Hammedatha, the enemy of the Jews, slew they, but on the spoil laid they not their hand. Now, this is happening in the 12th month. On the 13th day of the month, the date that was selected by Lot, this is Purim. And it is almost 10 months after their father Haman had been killed. The 10 sons of Haman were not killed on the 17th day of the second month along with their father, but they lived on. Their lives, we could say, were prolonged for a season in time. Just as we read in Daniel 7 that the beast was slain, but the rest of the beast, they had their existence extended. They were not slain when we read of those things in Daniel 7. Their dominion was taken away, but they were not slain. And certainly the 10 sons of Haman, they lost their authority once their father was shamed before the king. And once the house of Haman was given to Mordecai 10 months previously, they had no dominion. They had no authority at all within Ahasuerus' kingdom. But their lives were extended. And the 10 sons, that's a historical parabolic reference to what we read in Revelation 13. It identifies with the beast in verse 1. And I stood upon the sand of the sea and saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and upon his horns 10 crowns, and upon his heads the name of blasphemy. So is it a coincidence that the beast has 10 horns and Haman, who is the adversary, he's actually given that name or called that in the book of Esther, as Esther refers to him as the adversary and the enemy, who is the one who seeks to put her and her people to death, that the adversary, Haman, a clear picture of Satan, happens to have 10 sons. And Haman, the picture of Satan, who would identify with the beast, is put to death on a day that we have locked in to Judgment Day, the 17th day of the second month, but his 10 sons are not killed that very day. They are killed at a later date when Purim arrives some almost 10 months later. Is that a coincidence? No, not when it fits so well, so perfectly with other things we read in the Bible. It's teaching us of God's plan for Judgment Day, that there will be an initial beginning in which Satan is put down, and yet it's not over. God has some other things to take care of over the length, over the duration of the period of time known as Judgment Day. And if we turn to Isaiah 14, we'll find further information that helps us to see this. And let me just read the first few verses to start with in Isaiah chapter 14, beginning in verse 1. For Jehovah will have mercy on Jacob, and will yet choose Israel, and set them in their own land. And the strangers shall be joined with them, and they shall cleave to the house of Jacob. And the people shall take them and bring them to their place. And the house of Israel shall possess them in the land of Jehovah for servants and handmaids. And they shall take them captives, whose captives they were, and they shall rule over their oppressors. It shall come to pass in the day that Jehovah shall give thee rest from thy sorrow and from thy fear, and from the hard bondage wherein thou wast made to serve, that thou shalt take up this proverb against the king of Babylon, and say, how hath the oppressor ceased, the golden city ceased. Jehovah has broken the staff of the wicked and the scepter of the rulers, he who smote the people in wrath with a continual stroke. He that ruled the nations in anger is persecuted, and none hindereth. The whole earth is at rest and is quiet. They break forth into singing. Yea, the fir trees rejoice at thee, and the cedars of Lebanon, saying, since thou art laid down, no feller has come up against us. Now, when we look at this, we're struck by how God is letting us know the tables are turned. They will take them captives, whose captives they were. And remember, the Jews were captive in Babylon. And now it says they shall rule over their oppressors. And then we begin to read about the king of Babylon, and God lets us know it's a proverb or a parable. And we are to take up this proverb against the king of Babylon. And that is when we look at the historical setting, the historical biblical information concerning the king of Babylon and the 70-year period of time in which they were triumphant, we are to realize it is a parable that teaches us about God's judgment on the churches and congregations at the end of time during the period of the Great Tribulation. And at the end of the 70 years, well, the oppressor ceases. The Golden City, a name given to Babylon, ceases and no longer oppresses the people of God. You know, I know how it doesn't seem possible when people look at May 21 and they look at the time period after. Some quickly conclude, oh, it was an awful day. It was a terrible day for God's people. We were so embarrassed and it did not happen as we thought. Some people insist that nothing happened. And so the enemies of God, the world, and the church that is apostate, who said that in the days leading up, that nothing would happen, you cannot know the day or hour, it seemed that they were victorious. They had won. And God's people who trusted God, trusted His Word, because these things were found in the Word of God, that they were proven wrong, that we were holding on to falsehoods, that when we were able to bring this message to the world and trumpet these things to all the earth, that we were telling them a lie, that these things were not so. And that's what the enemies of God, the enemies of the truth of the Bible, would have us believe. And it certainly seemed to be so, and so many of God's people were cast down. They felt, oh, we believe this wholeheartedly. We saw these things in the Bible, and yet it seems we were wrong. And so the idea developed that it was a great defeat, a great day of tragedy for the kingdom of heaven, because it was the day that the proclamation of the scriptures to the world was proven false. And the fact is, the truth is, that as we study the Bible and as we read more about God's plan for Judgment Day and His plan for a period of time thereafter, known as those days after that tribulation, that in truth, it was not a day of defeat, but it was a great day of victory. Victory because God completed His salvation plan. He saved all those whose names were written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. All the prisoners, all the captives held in Babylon, in the dungeons of darkness of Satan's kingdom, were set free. All the elect receive the salvation of God that God had promised and obligated Himself to perform. And not only that, but it was also the end of Satan's time to rule over the churches and congregations as the man of sin. And he was put down. He no longer rules. It is the Lord Jesus Christ who was triumphant. The Lord Jesus Christ, who was given the greatest of victories on that day over the enemies of God. And that is how the Bible reveals Judgment Day. That is what the Bible has to say about May 21. It was a day in which judgment began upon the whole world. And God is getting himself glory and honor over the inhabitants of the earth as they perhaps themselves do not recognize it. But that's not important. God brought judgment on the churches and they didn't recognize it either. That is insignificant. That has nothing to do with whether God is judging the earth. The fact is, from God's perspective, and from the perspective of reality, as God has brought this judgment upon the world for their sins, they have been found guilty. And the judgment is that the door to heaven shuts and there will be no more salvation. It's an awful judgment as the light of the gospel has been put out upon the earth. And we see this in all these places we've been reading. Now let me just finish here in Isaiah 14. It says in verse 9, "Hell from beneath is moved for thee to meet thee at thy coming. It stirreth up the dead for thee, even all the chief ones of the earth. It has raised up from their thrones all the kings of the nations. All they shall speak and say unto thee, Art thou also become weak as we? Art thou become like unto us?" And this is referring to the king of Babylon, Satan. "Thy pomp is brought down to the grave, and the noise of thy vials. The worm is spread under thee, and the worms cover thee. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit." And that is the language that God uses to describe that glorious day in which his kingdom has conquered the kingdom of Satan. And the people of God have overcome the beast and overcome the number of his name and the image of the beast. This is the wonderful and good news that God would have his people to learn and to understand in these days after that tribulation.